Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Feminization Boudoir podcast from Candy Apple Press. I am sure by now you have figured out, with all the stories I have written about these bruising Amazons, physically overpowering weak and wimpy men, that I might be a fan of some women's sports, and I have been watching the Iowa-LSU basketball game, but I know I need to get this podcast up, so I've got it on mute, and I am focused on this. So I'm having fun. This is a story that was written by super fan, wonderful contributor, part of the Candy Apple Press family, Sissy Brenda, who has written the story with Mistress DJ and myself called From Air Force Lieutenant to Sissy Maid, as read by Mistress DJ. And I will tell you, it's a great story. And if Sissy Brenda also did From Police Detective to Sissy Maid, which I know a lot of people really liked. So really appreciate the contribution there. It's been funny, though, because the title is too controversial for Clips for Sale, which is, you know, an erotic clip site, because it's Air Force. So therefore, it must be forced. So if you're looking for this on Clips for Sale, I have loaded it up, but it is now From Pilot to Sissy Maid, because they think Air Force is against their terms of service. How unpatriotic. Anyway, without further ado, here is Mistress DJ reading a clip from Air Force Lieutenant to Sissy Maid by Sissy Brenda, mostly.
From Air Force Lieutenant to Sissy Maid, written by Sissy Brenda. Published by Candy Apple Press, copyright 2024, all rights reserved. Hello, my name is Rhonda Kessler. I'm a captain in the U.S. Air Force. I'm going to relate a story that has occurred over the last year or so. I know I would not believe it if it weren't true. My co-pilot, Lieutenant Albert Dryson, and I were on a mission based out of Guam. We were to fly southwest doing a reconnaissance. Albert and I had worked together for about 10 years off and on, and he was a competent, trustworthy co-pilot. We got along well, although strictly in a professional sense, and rarely discussed anything personal. One day, we encountered something strange. We came upon a large landmass that was not on any map or radar. "Are you seeing what I'm seeing?" I asked Albert. "I do see it. There's nothing on any radar or map that I've ever seen." It had mountain ranges and hills, and we could not see the ocean in any direction. I triple-checked all of our navigation and maps. Nothing. Suddenly, our radio came to life. A woman's voice came over the speaker. "F-16, identify yourself." Albert spoke up. "U.S. Air Force, ma'am. May I ask what this place is? We cannot find it on the map." There was silence. After what seemed like an eternity, but was probably only about 20 seconds, the woman said, "Are there any women on your craft?" I spoke up. "Yes, this is Captain Rhonda Kessler of the U.S. Air Force, based in Guam. You just heard from my Lieutenant, Albert Dryson." The woman replied, "We will speak with only you, Captain Rhonda. Is that understood?" Albert and I exchanged glances. "Yes, we understand." "Good. My name is Dominic Hazel. You've entered restricted airspace and will need to land your craft to be inspected. Please follow the aircraft now in front of you to the airstrip." Albert shook his head. I turned off the microphone. "Rhonda, I don't trust her. This whole thing is strange. They'll only talk to you, and we do not even know what this place is. We need to report back to the Major about what we found." I thought about that, but I decided that we were in no danger, and that we'd learn a lot more about all this by landing here and talking to them. I said as much to Albert, who looked dubious, but as his ranking officer, he had to obey me. We landed our jet and taxied behind the other plane. The radio crackled. Only Rhonda is permitted to leave the jet and confer with us. This sounded odd, and Albert looked even more dubious. "Understood, Dominic." "Call me Dom," she said through the radio. We looked out the window and I saw half a dozen female soldiers, all of whom looked pretty badass. They were all dressed in black leather pants, thigh-high black leather boots, black leather blouses, and black armbands. A couple also had black arm gloves. I smiled at Albert and shrugged as I jumped down from the cockpit. One woman reached her hand out. I recognized her voice from the radio as we shook hands. "Captain Rhonda, I'm not sure how you found us. You've landed on Wakanda. We are secret from the world due to our secret technology shield. It's been 20 years since any outsider has managed to get in." I was taken aback. Wakanda? A secret world? But I had so many questions, I didn't know where to begin. Dom smiled. We are a true matriarchy. Women control everything here. Men are second-class citizens whose purpose is to serve women. We are called Wakanda because of the laws of our female ruling authority has passed, which requires all men to always wear wigs and present as female, she paused, as best they can. There were snickers behind her. We mean no harm to the world, and we wish to stay private. I was really taken aback. A matriarchy? Men? Second-class citizens? How do they feel about this, I asked. It just did not seem right. The men enjoy their place here. They're incredibly happy, Dom answered. I wasn't sure about that. I wanted to investigate further and see this for myself. I said this to Dom, and she was happy to show me, but only me. No Albert. I got back into the plane and brought Albert up to date. He was incredulous. Men? Second-class citizens? This place needs to be investigated. We need to get the hell out and run this up the chain of command. Albert, we're not leaving until I find out more. The more information we get, the more informed the Major and everyone else will be. Have a sandwich or something. I won't be long. Before he could answer, I jumped down and walked over to Dom. Let's go. The seven of us walked about a half a mile to a large, nondescript building. As we entered, all the women grabbed a drink of red liquid. It looked like fruit punch. You should drink this. It's our local specialty. I took the mug and sniffed it. It's called Supremacy, she said. I chuckled. What's in it? I asked. It contains fruit and some locally grown additives. Additives? Like what specifically? I cannot divulge that, but it's very tasty. Dom indicated the other women, eagerly chuckling their beverages. I took a sip. It wasn't bad, so I took another, which tasted even better. So I finished my drink. Within less than a minute, I felt relaxed and confident. If it were possible, the drink actually made me more confident in myself, and in control, and assertive. Dom watched me and smiled. The Supremacy, if you call it, is a remarkably interesting drink. I'm glad you think so. The other black leather-clad women in our small group were all smiling and nodding. And now, to the workroom, said Dom. She ushered me through a door which led to a balcony overlooking a large factory, the size of a warehouse. Women below were all engaged in various tasks, some digging or operating heavy machinery, some inspecting various tools, and others in what looked like frilly and feminine-made dresses were busy mopping and scrubbing the floors and machinery. I took this all in from our balcony perch. After a few minutes, I said to Dom, "Well, this is all interesting, but where are the men?" She nodded her head in the direction of all the workers below us. I did a double take and squinted. Sure enough, when I looked closely, I could easily tell many of these workers dressed as women were actually men. Others were harder to distinguish. I don't understand, I said. Why are they dressed like that? I mean, you mentioned the law, but I just don't understand why. Come, said Dom, and I followed her and her black leather entourage down. Dom stopped in front of a man in a pair of hot pink shorts and a shiny white blouse, clearly showing a bra. He had a long auburn wig and sensible 2-inch heels. He was holding a pink water bottle while staring intently at a monitor, showing what appeared to be the inside of a machine. He looked up and immediately dropped his gaze to the floor. Hello, ma'am, he said, staring at the ground. Kitty, you can look up at me right now. This is a guest of mine, Captain Rhonda. Kitty curtsied. I laughed out loud, then covered my mouth. Oh my God, I hope I didn't offend anyone. I saw the other woman smiling, though. Kitty, please tell Captain Rhonda about your life here, and your job, and whether you're happy here. Yes, Dom. Thank you, Dom, he said, turning to me. I couldn't help noticing his eyeliner, mascara, and lipstick. Captain Rhonda, he said, looking at me fearfully before staring at the ground. I've never been around a bunch of happier fellows, he said, waving his arm to the other men on the floor working. Ever since we've been drinking Supremacy, he said, holding up his pink water bottle, everything has suddenly become clearer for all of us. Our purpose as males is to serve women and make them happy. Women are superior to us, and it just all makes sense for us. It's quite natural. He stopped and took a sip of his water bottle. I thought about this and thought about how the drink made me feel, but something wasn't right. What's with the getup? Why are you and the others dressed like this? That's a great question, Captain Rhonda. Dressing this way not only provides a way for us to emulate our superiors and mask our male status, but it also satisfies a compulsion to be humiliated. We know we can never be as good as women. We're inferior by nature. It always feels good to be humiliated by our superiors, Dom spoke up. And, I'm sorry, Dom. And, Kitty was grabbed by two of Dom's entourage and thrown to the ground in front of Dom. Dom pulled a paddle with holes on it out of a nearby bowl I hadn't noticed earlier. The bowl contained all sorts of strange implements. Couldn't imagine what their purpose was. Dom yanked down Kitty's shorts, revealing very frilly bubblegum pink panties. She gave Kitty a dozen or so hard whacks. Through tears, Kitty smiled and said, "And we know that punishing us makes women so happy, which makes us happy too." Kitty actually smiled at me through her, his tears. This was all too much. As I stood there taking it all in, I noticed a guy, well, presumably a guy on all fours, scrubbing the floor in a black maid's dress. He had knee pads over his black stockings, but also had 4 or even 5-inch pink heels on while scrubbing the floor. "You," I called to him, wondering where all my confidence was coming from. One of the entourage spoke up. "He won't talk to you." "What do you mean?" "About 20% of them are so afraid of us and so submissive that they can't register anything except an order from a woman, unless the order involves saying something or looking at you." "Wait, what?" "I know, it's complicated. There are books written on the phenomenon, but 20% of them, once they start drinking supremacy, are only good for the most menial of tasks. They love cleaning toilets. It's hilarious. My name's Pamela, by the way." I shook Pamela's hand while staring at the so-called man scrubbing the floor. "Watch this. Sissy, get over here and clean my boots." The man in the black maid's dress immediately stopped scrubbing and ran over to Pamela before quickly dropping to the ground. He began licking her boots. I swear I heard a moan, and he looked like he was really into it. "That's it, Sissy. Lick the bottom too. Get it good." This was too weird, and although I certainly wouldn't have admitted it back then, it felt exciting too. "I need to get out of here right now," I said, and trotted up to the balcony. Nobody stopped me. I ran back to the jet and sat down in my seat, very confused. "Well," said a voice, "what happened?" Albert startled me, and I grabbed his arm hard. "How?" we yelled, and I immediately let go and apologized. "I'm sorry, Albert, this place is seriously fucked up. It's just like they said, the women control everything, and the men are subservient, happy about it. We need to leave right now." Hearing a command in a man's voice like that really grated on me. It never had that effect before, but there was something about it that was wrong. I'd immediately felt the need to take control of the situation and not let him undermine my authority. "I'm sorry, Albert. We're not leaving. Stay here. I need to learn more about this place," and I left quickly before he could respond. I needed to be alone with my thoughts, and I walked away from the jet in the opposite direction of the building where I'd just been. I walked across a field of tall grass, thinking about how, as a woman, we've always been expected to be subservient to men. Even now, as a captain in the Air Force, I could not ignore the rampant casual sexism in the ranks. From my direct reports to my superior officers, a microcosm of society. It sucks. I could get used to this place, the Waganda, where men dress in frilly women's clothes and see their role as serving women as their purpose in life, with no other ambition. Was I wrong?
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Feminization Boudoir podcast from Candy Apple Press. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Candy Apple Press writer and occasional narrator, Victoria Vaughn. Our last ad for the premium podcast was a bit hard sell because we were very worried that Spotify could be pulling the plug on the free podcast very soon. A few months later, and it doesn't seem nearly as imminent a threat. So why should you subscribe to the premium podcast? First, we have about 55 hours of audios all available for the monthly price of $15. If you only heard the free versions, you're missing a bunch of short audios and some of the best parts of audios you have heard. Of course, there's new audios added every week. Even better, the subscription appears as payment to Spotify, so nobody has to know what it's for. If you can't afford it right now, we hope you'll continue to enjoy the free version. But if you do have the means, we don't think you'll be disappointed.
There's a link in the description to sign up for the premium, or just Google Premium Feminization Boudoir Podcast.
But I took some more sips of the supremacy drink as I kept walking. A few houses over, I heard loud smacks. Was someone building something? It didn't sound like construction, though. I couldn't quite figure out what I was hearing. Again, I snuck up to the front window and was shocked to see a woman, or no, probably a man in a frilly pink maid's outfit and heels over a woman's lap. He was getting spanked extremely hard from a wooden paddle. "Say it," she told him. "I'm a pathetic sissy loser," shouted the man as the woman laughed and continued spanking him. I backed away in shock, yet I was even hornier. I tried not to think about her. I should have stopped. I should have thrown away the drink, gotten back on the plane, and left this weird place, but I didn't. I took another swig, and I felt powerful. I felt so confident and sure of myself. I loved this feeling. I looked at the drink. I wanted more of it. I kept walking. More noises from a house on the next block. This woman's house was very stately. At this point, it was second nature for me to assume every house was a woman's house, and that every man was happily satisfied with being a lowly servant to her. I looked in briefly and saw a woman in all black leather with long black hair and thigh-high black leather boots kneeling on a couch with her back to me. Her black satin panties were pulled down, and she said, "Beg me to kiss and eat my ass, sissy." "Please, Randy, may I please kiss and eat your beautiful ass?" "Yes, dear. Eat my ass like the ass-licking tiny dick loser that you are." I backed away with my pussy dripping. Oh my God. Everything about that was incredible. I needed that in my life. What's happening to me? I started back to the jet, but stopped when I heard another woman yelling. I couldn't help myself. This woman's house had a flag flying. It said in pink letters on a black background, "Female Supremacy," with a fist and the Universal Women's sign next to it. When I looked in, I saw a woman in a short black miniskirt and black bra picking the crap out of a sissy on the bed. By now, of course, it was easy for me to identify the men here as sissies. In fact, were there men here at all? I filed that question upon it later. The woman was shouting, "Sissy faggot, you'll never get out of chastity, you know," she continued thrusting. "Thank me for fucking your ass and keeping you in chastity, sissy." The sissy was breathless, getting his ass pounded like that, but squeaked out, "Thank you for fucking my ass and keeping me in chastity." The woman laughed heartily. This made me laugh, and I quickly ducked down. Chastity, I thought. I needed to learn more about that. As I walked away, a light bulb went off. I had to get Albert to somehow drink some of that supremacy drink. That's it. My pussy was positively dripping. I hadn't been this horny in years. I started jogging, then running. I raced back towards the main building to see Dom. It may have been my fastest mile run ever. I reached Dom's building. I didn't actually know what it was called. It occurred to me that I'd pretty much forgotten all about reconnaissance and my actual job and was fixated on fulfilling my female supremacy destiny. I chuckled to myself about that. One of the black leather guards was at the entrance. He was tall and muscular and looked serious. "Halt. Why are you here, Captain Rhonda?" I quickly decided honesty was best. "I need to obtain supremacy drink for my Lieutenant Albert." She cocked her head and raised an eyebrow. Then she smiled. "Very well. I'll accompany you, Captain Rhonda. Follow me. I'm Raina." I followed Raina to the factory floor. She radioed in and Dom would meet us there. We observed the sissies working hard. Some operating machinery or in front of computer screens or both. Others engaged as the maid or janitorial staff, scrubbing and cleaning. We entered a medium-sized room. Three black-leathered women were sternly supervising a dozen or so sissies who were busily producing supremacy drink. Many pipes, tubes, and equipment lay about. I noticed one maid kept very busy, constantly cleaning and wiping. Dom greeted me. "We would be happy to provide your," she hesitated, "your man, some of our drink. We can't spare a lot, but I'm happy to help a strong, brave, intelligent woman such as yourself." I beamed. "I love this place and that drink." "Thank you, Dom. I really appreciate this, but I have some questions for you about the chastity." "Yes." "Are all males in chastity then?" "From the time they are 18, yes." "For how long?" "For their life, of course," Dom sniggered as though there were no other option. "But," Dom cut me off. "Oh, we enjoy sex very much. Males use strap-ons of all different sizes on top of their little dicklets in chastity. Or sometimes in their mouths." I didn't know what to say. Pamela, who had joined our discussion, added, "After all these generations of sissified males in chastity that we've had, their penises are pretty small. Nobody is over 4 inches, and even those are considered large. I laughed out loud. All the women there, including a couple of supervisors, all laughed with me. A couple of the sissies were obviously blushing. It was a great moment. Back at the jet, Albert decided he needed to stretch his legs, orders be damned. He jumped down from the cockpit and stretched. He looked around the barren landscape, some houses and trees in the distance. When he looked behind him, he saw a woman with her back to him. She was about 100 meters away. She had long blonde hair and was dressed in all black with black thigh-high boots. She looked very sexy to Albert, who, despite his orders, thought it'd be harmless to engage this woman in conversation and learn a thing or two about this location. As he got closer to the woman, Albert could see that she was engrossed in her phone. He coughed and said, "Excuse me." The woman whirled around and, in a quick blur of motion, caught Albert with a 1-2 punch in the jaw and stomach, causing him to double over in pain. "What the fuck do you think you're doing, you jerk?" she yelled. I just wanted to ask you a question," he said, rubbing his jaw. This infuriated the woman, who kicked Albert hard in the balls with her black boots, leaving him gasping in the fetal position on the ground. "You're in violation of several laws. Where are your proper clothes? Why do you not have a wig?" Albert could only moan. "Don't move, loser," she said, typing quickly on her phone. "The sissy police have been notified, and you'll be suitably punished." She stormed away. Albert slowly started crawling back to the jet in agony. This place is fucked up, he thought. Dom ended up providing me with 20 cases of the supremacy drink. Each case contained 24 bottles, so I had almost 500 bottles to bring back with me. These were loaded onto the back of a Jeep. Raina was set to drive the Jeep, but before we headed back to the jet, I told her about my co-pilot, and she said, "Hold on," and ran back to the storeroom area and brought back a large suitcase. Regulation uniform for males. Once he starts drinking supremacy, he'll be more comfortable in these clothes. She opened the suitcase, and there were all sorts of frilly clothes, including a long black wig. I smiled but said to Raina, "But how will we get him to wear these clothes?" "Oh, don't worry. Once he starts drinking supremacy, he'll practically beg for them. It's really impressive how the drink affects them." "What do you mean?" "This is a fast-working drink that has a unique chemical agent that's worked on men and women in opposite directions. It makes women powerful, confident, and dominant, with a desire to humiliate men and make them submit. It makes men submissive and subservient, craving humiliation and punishment from women. In addition, it has an odd side effect that creates a very strong urge in women to wear black leather and men to dress in frilly feminine clothes." "You're kidding." Raina shook her head. "And it occurs naturally here. We just must purify it and bottle it." I thought about this. The fact that every woman here I'd seen was dressed in black leather pants or skirts and black boots, it made sense. Thankfully, I already had a black leather uniform. As we got closer to the jet, I saw Albert lying on the ground next to it. "Oh my God, Albert, what happened to you?" "I was attacked unprovoked," he said sternly. Raina busily tapped her phone and then said, "There's a report that a strange man attacked a local woman right around here." As she spoke, a police car approached. I thought quickly. I did not want Albert causing any trouble for us. "Here, Albert, drink some of this. I'm sure you're dehydrated. We'll get to the bottom of this." He accepted the drink and thirstily drank a whole bottle. Raina and I exchanged glances. I handed Albert another bottle as two leather-clad, serious-looking policewomen approached. "I'm Officer Shayla. What's going on here?" "We have a report of male assault." I looked down, and Albert was naked and licking my boots. This made me laugh out loud. "Officer, I think there's been a misunderstanding," said Raina. "This man is only beginning his conditioning." "Why is he wigless? Why is he not dressed in female clothes?" Raina jumped in and said, "We'll see to it that he receives treatment for his toxic masculinity." I added, "Officers, we're from the United States and accidentally landed in your territory. I apologize for my co-pilot's actions. He'll be suitably punished and reconditioned." I held up the superiority drink. "Punishment for male assault is normally castration," said Officer Shayla. Albert stopped his groveling and whimpered. "But in this case, where the male had not been conditioned to Waganda, punishment will be a public spanking instead. 200 spanks, minimum." "Thank you, officers," Raina and I said in unison. We all looked down at Albert, who looked positively pathetic as he continued licking my boots. "Get up, loser," said Raina. I yanked him up by his arm, and he hung his head. Officer Shayla and the other officer, whose name tag said Sally, both gasped in unison. "Why is he not in chastity?" asked Officer Sally. "We haven't had a chance, Officer," said Raina quickly. Officer Shayla shook her head slowly in disgust. "That'll be 200 more smacks." She stared at Albert's cock and snorted. "A tiny thing, isn't it?" That caused the rest of us to burst out laughing as Albert's cheeks turned bright red. "But see that he's caged shortly." "Yes, officer," said Raina, pulling out a leather bag. "I have several here." She pulled out a ridiculously small metal cage and quickly secured it on Albert's cock. She then handed me the key. "You're the obvious key owner for him." Turning to Albert, she said, "We're going to send you to classes. You have a lot to learn if you're going to serve women correctly." "Thank you, ma'am," he said while staring at the ground. The officers in the black leather boots looked at Albert with contempt. "We'll leave him in your hands for now, ladies. But that public spanking needs to happen." We both nodded. Raina said, "Let's get you in some proper clothes and pretty you up. Then you can eat our pussies." This made me smile. Albert didn't protest at all as we made him put on pink satin panties with white lace, a pink garter belt, and black stockings. A bra with V-cup entrance came next. This made me snort. Albert's rack was bigger than mine. A tight black latex maid's dress was next. We tied a white apron over that. Finally, 3-inch black pumps. Albert struggled a bit trying to walk in those. 2-hour heel walking classes every day, and he'll be prancing in 6-inch heels in no time, chuckled Raina. Albert didn't say a word, but I noticed he did keep drinking his supremacy drink, as did I. Seeing him dressed like this was making me horny. Finally, Raina placed a long blonde wig on him. "You're to never appear in public without this wig on. Is that understood, sissy?" Raina grabbed his chin and made him look her in the eye. "Yes, ma'am, I promise," said Albert, appearing frightened. "Good," said Raina. "Have you ever eaten pussy?" Albert stammered, I have a little experience with that, ma'am." "We'll see about that." To me, Raina said, "We need to get a baseline for him. Eating pussy is a core requirement for all sissy men. They're required to do this on command, anytime, any place, for any woman." "I like this place," I said. Raina laughed. "We do, too."
So that was a clip from Air Force Lieutenant to Sissy Maid by Sissy Brenda, with some help from me and from Mistress DJ, and narrated by Mistress DJ. If you liked that clip, you can pick it up on Clips for Sale, and you can get your best price if you check out Candy Apple Hotline on Night Flirt. I am really happy with how that line has gone, and it's a great way to talk to some of our narrators. Also, just calling their individual Night Flirt lines. I think just about all our narrators are on Night Flirt right now, except for Pamela and Victoria, who has only done short ones. She hasn't done full length yet. But I think everybody else is on Night Flirt. There is no better way to encourage them to do more audios than to call them and say, "Hey, I heard you on Kylie's podcast. You know, I thought you were great." That really encourages them to want to keep working on this. And you know, you don't want me reading the stories. So it definitely helps keeping them motivated. So please don't hesitate to do that. It's also where you're going to get the best, like I said, the best deals on the audios themselves. For instance, if you like this one and you wanted to pick it up, I think it's $14.99 on Clips for Sale. That's as little as they'll let me charge. But it's $12.99 on Night Flirt, so it's a little bit less. And that's Candy Apple Hotline. So thank you so much, as I said, for all your support. Even if you're just listening, it means a lot. And I will be back next week. I think next week is probably going to be Shayla. It might be Pamela. They both have audios coming into me. In fact, Pamela's I just got this morning. But Shayla is really close to finishing one up too. And I'll be back next week. I hope you will be too. Bye-bye.